Amen. Father, we just praise and glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for leading us tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to do the things that you want us to do and to hear the things that you want us to hear. Lord, let us be ever vigilant to listen for your voice, that little still, small voice that we hear, and to guide us, Lord, and I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you for faith, bold faith, in each and every one of us to believe and to trust you in your promises, Father. And I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that we're all drawing close to you, and we're all coming into that one accord in unison, and I praise you, Father, for that. And nobody's going to be above anybody else because we're all one in Christ. And I thank you for it, Father God. And I praise you and I glorify you for instilling in us to walk like you did, talk like you did, and act like you did. And I praise you for that, Lord. Give us all the words to say and the things that would edify and encourage the brethren. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Father, that everything we do is to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? How many of you want to be picked up in your spirit a little bit? Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know if you've heard it before. I've heard it a lot of times, but I'm going to share it anyway. I guess it's the Lord. Guess we'll see.
All of the men of Israel, and he called for three or four tribes, and they came together, 32,000. And when the 32,000 got there, God said, I can't deliver you with all these folk. You got too many. See, we get comfort in how many folk are with us. Honey, are you with me or against me? Yeah, that's the gang concept. Every gang feels confident when he feels I got more folk in my gang than you got in your gang. But God said that if I deliver Israel from the Midianites with all this host you got, years to come, centuries to come, you'll be talking about how Israel got up, rose up, and delivered herself. But I want you to know that the only way I can get glory, it's got to be done in such way where that you'll know you didn't do it with your numbers. And God cut down the number from 32,000. First he told all the cowards to go home. God said, I'm going to do it, and all I need is just a small handful. I want you to know that when God gets ready to do his thing in your life, you don't have to worry about who's not with you. Never seen so many folk whining and crying about who's turned on me and who did this and who did that and who did the other. You just don't know. Sometimes God is trying to separate. He's trying to separate until he gets a sincere number.
I've had church members say, how can we get the world to like us better? And the answer is, be worldly. That's the only way they're going to like you. Jesus said, the world hated me and it will hate you. That means if you're like Jesus, the world will hate you. Period. And if it doesn't, it's because you're not like him. You have two choices. You can either please God the Father or you can please the world. But you cannot please both because they're opposite ends of the pole and they do not mix. You will either offend God or offend the world. Make up your mind, you can't be both.
You read the story of the healing of Jairus' daughter. And Jesus didn't even take everybody that he had with him in the house. He left nine of his disciples outside. Didn't take nobody in but Peter, James, and John.
And then he took Jairus and Jairus' wife and he himself and walked into the girl's bedroom, and there she was lying there dead. She made number 7. The Lord couldn't work his miracle until he put the doubters on the outside. Sometimes what God want to do in your life, he would have done it long time ago if he had disconnected you from some of the folk you hang with. Every time he got ready to bless you, you went and got your best friend. And sometimes your best friend is your worst enemy. And then a whole lot of time you can't pray by yourself. You got to have your prayer partner. And sometimes instead of praying for you, they're preying on you. You don't know, a lot of time God has to strip everything and everybody away from you. Doesn't mean that I don't love you, but I only had to do that to get you to that personal relationship. God said, I don't want it to be nobody between me and you.
This is the message from heaven for you today. When you've lost your business after years of toil and you have the tendency to say, all things are against me. Hear this, if God be for you, who can be against you? When you've lost your job and you've had an automobile wreck and your baby got sick just when you needed every dime and you're tempted to say, all things are against me. Remember that Jehovah Jireh sits upon his throne and everything's going to be all right. When your dreams slip through your fingers like hot sand and you say, all things are against me. And your marriage has failed, and you go into your home for the last time, and you take the pictures of your children off of the wall, and you gather their toys and their clothes and put them in a sack and take them into mama's house, and you say, all things are against me. When you've married the love of your life and he dies, and she dies in the prime of life, and the sun of your life sinks at high noon, replaced by a darkness that's broken your heart, and you're tempted to look at God and say, all things are against me. I'm here with this message from heaven for you today. Whatever your problems, listen to me. You must remember what Jacob did not know. You must remember what Jacob did not know. Jacob did not know that his flesh and blood was sitting on a throne of gold with unlimited power, with unlimited wealth, and at that very moment was working for everything to come to his Jacob's advantage. Jesus Christ is your flesh and blood. Flesh and blood because he's God and man. He sits on the throne in heaven with all power in heaven and on earth. He has unbelievable wealth. And at this very moment, he's working out every detail in your life for your benefit. Mountains of impossibility are getting ready to move. He will make you the head and not the tail. He will bless you in the city. He will bless you in the field. He will bless you with your basket. He will bless you in your store. He will bless your health. He will bless you're going in and you're coming out. Lift your head and smile, child of God. The blessings of heaven are on the way.
You may be fighting a battle. Depression may be in your life and in your heart. And you just say, there's no way out. There's no way out. It's never been heard. Anybody got an answer? And I need no way that I could ever get my miracle. You say, what shall I do? Oh, let the Holy Ghost come on the scene. Let the Holy Ghost come upon you. Let the Holy Ghost overshadow you. Because if you let the Holy Ghost get in your situation, how God can bring miracles into your life. Don't limit God to meeting your needs in one particular way.
I'm saying to you, there is no message in the Word of God that can bless you or heal you or deliver you like the message of God's grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace can move mountains of shame and despair. Grace can calm the troubled sea of your soul. Grace can fill the barren desert of your life with streams of living water. Grace can bring you through the fire without the smell of smoke upon you. Grace is an ocean without a shoreline, whose depths have never been charted, whose endless healing streams are life-giving water that have never been charted by anyone on earth. Grace will set you free from the tyranny of yourself. Grace will set you free from the chains of your past. Have you failed? Have you failed? Have you failed miserably? Did you make the wrong choice? Ask God to forgive you and experience His amazing grace. Forgive yourself. Then square your shoulders. Live, love, laugh, and be happy. God has forgiven you. God has buried it in the deepest sea. God says, I'll never remember it again. You forget it. God's forgotten it. And live your life with joy unspeakable.
I'm talking about don't limit God. David said, God is not limited to human means. God is not limited to human means. You say the banker's given me up. The doctor's given me up. The situation looks bad. Listen, God is not limited to what man can do. But you see, God is not limited to human means. You may be in the wilderness today. You may be saying, I don't see how this can happen, or that can happen, or this can happen, or that can happen, or the other thing can happen. But I want you to know God is not limited to human means. Don't limit God.
So I'm saying to you today, in the 21st century, the thousands of you who are here and the millions of you who are watching around the world, are you weary and well-doing? Go to Jesus. Are you brokenhearted by the betrayal of a family friend, a dear friend, your spouse? Go to Jesus. Do you fear the gathering storm your family is facing? Go to Jesus. Are you grieving over the false accusation of Potiphar's wife trying to destroy you? Go to Jesus. The word says the tongue that rises against you, you shall judge. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Go to Jesus. Are you searching for the physician that heals dreaded diseases? Go to Jesus. He's still the healing Jesus. Are you searching for living water in the desert of your days? Go to Jesus. He is the living water. Are you walking through the darkest night that you have ever known? Go to Jesus. He's the light of the world. What are you searching for? What are you looking for? Here's the answer. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. And what He says, do it, and you shall have it. What's the point I'm making here? The point is, you can never exhaust God's resources. You can never exhaust God's resources, because He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think.
But that song that Andre Crouch wrote several years ago, many times I find myself singing it. Riding down the street in my car, but I hear myself saying, and now I thank God for the mountains. And I thank Him for the valleys. And I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. Because if I never had a problem, I would not know that God could solve them. And I wouldn't know what faith in God to do. But through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. And all I want to tell you today is, don't let what you're going through shake you. Don't let what you're going through make you feel like God doesn't love you. Because I hear Him say, Lord, I am with you.
And just confess and, Lord, I'm with you. Lord and God, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right. That'll pick me up there. Anybody got anything they want to pray about? Lord, I just thank you and I praise you, Father, that you are with us. You're always with us. And Lord, thank you in our heart to always understand that you're not, you're everywhere with us. You're always with us. Sometimes we don't think you are, but you're right there. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for your encouraging words in the Word that tell us all those great promises are for us. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, for the trust that you placed in us and the rest in the knowledge that you are in control of everything of our life. And I praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody got anything they want to pray or comment or Let's see, testify. This is testify time. Anybody got to testify? Want to testify? There used to be a song I called Testify. Yeah, David?
I'd like to share a testimony.
Go for it, brother.
I shared last week about how God delivered me, and this week has been a new journey. Last week I was listening to nothing but teachings and praise music, and I was just being filled with David's teachings. This week came around, and Monday I downloaded an audio Bible, and the whole day I listened nothing but that. I'll get to work, clock in, my earbuds go in, no one bothers me. I get to work and I play my Bible. And man, I've listened through Daniel, Esther, Jeremiah, Leviticus, and going through Ezekiel right now. And man, just listening, just going through Jeremiah and Ezekiel is such an eye opener. There's so much things that are revealed just to those two alone. And you know, it's been, God lit a fire in me. And like, it was getting to the point where I was like, oh, maybe I could turn on some music right now. I was like, nope, I want to keep listening. I want to keep listening. And man, thank you, Lord. It's been amazing. And I mean, that's a fire. That's the kind of desire for the word. That's the kind of desire for the word I've been wanting for years. And man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
That word of God. Hey, y'all. Matthew and Anna and Obadiah is going nuts back there.
Hey, everybody.
Hello. How are y'all? We missed y'all. Will you be home tomorrow? Hey, Obadiah, you having fun?
Yeah.
How about you, Elisha?
Elisha, you having fun?
Are you not going to get in my grandma's house tonight or tomorrow? Or tomorrow morning?
What did you say?
He said we should be getting to grandma's house tonight. Maybe tomorrow morning, but it looks like tonight. So thank you,
okay, Lord. Great. Awesome. It's always good to go to grandma's house. You got sweets and everything ready for you. Make you bounce off the walls. Thank you, Father. They're going to have a good time. All right. No problems, huh? Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Let's see. I showed up, Ben. She been all right?
She was crying a little bit earlier, so I couldn't get on. But she's been doing pretty good, considering everything.
Yeah, Shoshana. Hi, Shoshana. Hey, Sugar. Hey, Shoshana. Obadiah, you got a smile on your face. Amen. All right. It's good to see y'all.
Good to see you.
We miss y'all.
Hey, I got a little testimony we could share real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Among other things, I'll just share just one little thing. As we were in a parking lot, getting ready, you know, behind somebody to turn out of the parking lot onto the road in Colorado, and they were several yards in front of us, and all of a sudden they just start backing up, and we don't think anything of it, like maybe they were just wanted too close in the road or whatever. And then they just, like, step on the gas or something, and they just... But it wasn't like when people just step on the gas a little bit and they lurch. Like, they just, like, were backing up. They just decided they just wanted to go backward. And they just went all the way up to us. And Matthew was trying to throw it into reverse so we could get out of the way. So I reached over there to honk the horn. But right before we did, right before they hit us, they just stopped and then went forward. And we don't know what that was about, but the Lord protected us.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Oh, my. Did you get it on your camera?
No.
Oh, man. That would have been a YouTube special. Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for your protection upon Anna and Matthew and the boys and Shoshana. Thank you, Lord. Amen. How many miles to Grandma's house?
190.
Oh, that's not too bad.
3 hours.
3 hours, no, okay.
We pulled a 12-hour day yesterday. Well, no,
you're over there where time is, what is it, 6 o'clock? 6:30, 6:20?
Yeah, but we'll be changing over here to
5:20.
Soon. Yeah.
Wow, you gain your time, man. Wow, you'll be able to tell them what's ahead. Amen. All right. Lord bless them. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Isaac. Good to have you, brother. Josie? Welcome, girl. All right. Missy, you want to share your little testimony?
Well, yesterday morning, as I was waking up, I knew I was dreaming something, but I couldn't remember what it was. And I knew there were like words that were being spoken or whatever, and I didn't know what they were. I knew they were just like, I don't know. I didn't know what they were. They were kind of strange or whatever. And and I was wondering as I was waking up, why and what were these odd words? Right then, as if the Lord was answering my thoughts, juggernaut, JUGGERNAUT, came to me. I was not totally awake yet and had to consciously keep repeating it in my head so I didn't forget it. I had no idea what this word was and not sure I ever even heard it. After the morning prayer meeting, I looked up just the word juggernaut. I was surprised I spelled it correctly. What came up was that it was a Marvel Comics superhero character by the name of Juggernaut, and I read about it. Then I searched, what does juggernaut mean? I guess the Lord leading me, you know. It means a massive, inexorable force, campaign, movement, or object that crushes whatever is in its path. Also, an unstoppable force. What came to my mind is the only unstoppable force is God. No fictional satanic idol with superpowers can even compare. Then what came to my mind was Michael's vision of the army of angels and also the word that the Lord gave Samuel talking about that God sent for a division of holy angels, thousands of them. I asked the Lord for verses by faith at random concerning this word juggernaut. And this is what the Lord gave me, 2 Chronicles 7:19-22. this was like towards the end of I think Solomon's prayer to dedication of the temple or whatever. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of the land which I have given them, and this which I have given, which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And this house, which is so high, everyone that passes by it shall be astonished and shall say, what has the Lord done thus Why has the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, is where I landed, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. And then I got 2 Kings 4:33, 32 to 33. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And then I just kind of give a brief explanation. This woman went to Elisha because her son had died. When she got to Elisha, he asked her if it was well with her, her husband, and her child. And each time she said, "It is well." She was believing her son would live before she saw. Afterwards, Elisha prayed for the child and he was resurrected. I had a dream of Amber being back, but I didn't see her in the dream. The Lord reminded me that blessed are they that believe yet have not seen. This is the story that David and Brandy told me came to their mind when I sent my dream to David. And this is what I got out of all this. And there's, you know, some other things have come to my mind too since then. But the Lord is the unstoppable force through our prayers and sending out the angels to defeat our enemies, bringing back the exiled captives speedily, and to resurrect Amber as well as others. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for the faith to believe we have received the answer to our prayers and for being the unstoppable force through your angel armies. So I was just like amazed that the Lord would give me a word like that. And I'm not even sure I ever even heard it. I had no idea what it was. And so that's my little tidbit there. It really encouraged me. It encourages you all. To me, it's a confirmation, you know, to what I mentioned of Michael's vision and the part of the word that the Lord gave Samuel. But anyway, it was just like, wow. And Michael, you said it, you told me earlier that juggernaut is a military term. Mm-hmm. And you might want to explain that, because that wasn't in anything that I had read. And I thought, wow, how awesome is that?
That's when they take a great force and go all at once at an enemy to overpower them. And that's what juggernaut means.
Yeah, which...
It's an overpowering force.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. It made me think of this song... Chris Tomlin, I think he was the original one, Angel Armies. I know who goes before me. I know who goes behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always on my side. But anyway. That song
always reminds me of the time that I was coming back from me and another guy was on the motorcycles coming back from a ministry thing that I had up in the hills of Arkansas. It was late at night and we were coming back, going down this big mountain. We were clipping along pretty good. And I looked out to my side and there was an angel flying right beside me. And then over on the other side of Ronnie, there was another angel flying right with us the whole way. Flew with us all the way home. I said, "Oh God, this is awesome."
That's cool. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. They're with us everywhere we go, aren't they?
Even if we don't.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
So we're talking about, Missy mentioned resurrecting dead. And I remembered a vision I had yesterday during the meeting. We were praying for the recent event that happened, that a lot of people died and whatnot. And we were praying, and I was praying in the spirit, and I started seeing a vision of a lot of dead bodies laying on these platforms. And there would be a bright light coming down from heaven and shine down on the body, and one by one started getting up and walking around.
Awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you have one after that also?
I actually had three visions during the meeting yesterday. It was so awesome.
Amen.
But yeah, okay, I'll just go ahead and share them. I emailed them to you, Mike. I don't know if you got them, but
I got them.
So during the worship, we're singing the song "How He Loves Us," and towards the end of the song, I was just singing in the spirit, and I saw the cross and Jesus hanging on the cross, and I was looking, and I had this question in my mind. I was like, why this vision? And the Lord told me, because that's where the love was perfected. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, Lord of God.
And then later we were praying in the spirit, and I saw this vision, and I was looking, and it was dark all around, but I saw this white sword just sticking up out of the ground. And next moment, I saw an angel grab that sword and in one motion pulled out of the ground and swung it at the same time. And I was like, what is he swinging at? Because it's dark. But with the glow of the sword, it revealed that he was swinging into the mouth, across the mouth of a dragon. And right after he did that, I saw the dragon falling out of the sky. And right as that dragon was falling down, there was a great white boom in heaven, and it just lit up the whole sky. And I knew that it's the end, that devil's been cast down. And thank you, Lord.
Praise God forevermore. Praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, for taking care of our enemy. Not the enemy is Satan and all his dominion. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, David. All right, anyone else? Y'all getting in unison? One accord? Because if you're getting in one accord with Jesus, you're getting in one accord with all of us. Yeah, Benita.
I just want to share a small blessing. This year, I just decided I didn't want to spend a lot of money on flowers and stuff, and so I didn't buy anything. I was tempted many times, but I said, no, I don't really need to spend the money on that. And the Lord just blessed me. I have more flowers that came up from last year, the annuals. They just pop up in place and like, what's that doing there? And I haven't watered them once, and they're just thriving. It's like, look what he did. I didn't even have to buy anything. It was so exciting.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. That is awesome. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, yeah, what Vanita just said, just... Yeah, I meant to say this some time ago, and I keep forgetting. Right when she said that, it dawned on me. And so I, too, have a testimony I'd like to give, because I've been thinking about it. I guess I just forget. But anyways, where we live at, this year we just got an abundance of blackberries. Me and Marianne probably picked, I don't know, 3, 3.5 pounds the other day. And it was awesome. We made a cobbler. It was pretty cool. So, you know, who don't like a blackberry cobbler? anyways, so I just want to thank the Lord for that, because I can tell you this, since we've lived here, we've been here 7 years, and I've been all in those woods. I spend a lot of time in the woods when I'm home. I just like to walk around and, you know, whatever. Anyways, there's never really been blackberries back there. I know we had some in our front yard by the road. I don't know what happened with this last year, but man, it just blew up. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for blackberries. And my good cobbler. Go ahead, Missy.
Vanita's story reminded me of something with me. I decided not to buy very many flowers. You know, I basically only bought two pots. And I have a three-pot thing on my deck back here that I decided that I wasn't going to put flowers in like I normally do. And here, each one of them, each pot has a flower that reseeded itself that are coming up. And even one of them has, and how this happened, I don't know other than God, but one of them has two different kinds. And the other kind was from the year before last that somehow, you know, so it was like, yeah, thank you, Lord. Amen. He's cool. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, David, go ahead, brother.
We're sharing testimonies about plants coming out of nowhere. I got one.
All right, so, let's hear it.
So we got a little, the previous person that lived here had a little garden in the back. And my wife was begging me this spring, can we have a garden? I was like, I don't know about that with a newborn. I don't think so. We'll wait till next spring. So we left it at that. And one day I was out there mowing a couple weeks ago, and I drive by that garden. I'm like, wait a second, that's not a plant that was there before. I look at it, a tomato plant grew out, and it had three big tomatoes on it. And
oh,
I was
praise
like,
God.
Would you look at that? So I put a stick in the ground, tied it up, and now it's just bloomed. Then it's got praise a bunch God. Of tomatoes on it. It's awesome. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got a testimony about God's gardens? Go ahead, Benita.
Not gardens this time, but hopefully this will encourage Mariana. Okay. The dog, my little puppy, he's doing so well. Him and my daughter's dog, we've got 5 acres here, and we've got some woods with a trail through it. And, you know, they just run back and forth and just play around, and they'd never leave the yard. We have these beeper collars at them, and you beep them, and they come right back to you. And they're just so good. They just, you don't even have to worry about them. It's so wonderful. So it's just a blessing. So Mariana, your little puppy's going to be doing that too. Amen.
Amen. Well, I've got a little bit of a testimony. We had a cat come up to our house and stay. And David and I both are dog men. We're not cat men. But the cat, it looks like about a half. You've seen those gray striped cats, you know, and then a Siamese cat. But it had a little bit of both in it. And it's just still hanging around. Every now and then I give it something to eat, and David will sneak around and give him something to eat. I call him Bonsified the cat. No, I'm sorry, Alfonso-fied the cat. Alfonso-fied the cat. That's just my name for it. So he hang around. He don't get in the house. He thinks he wants to, but that ain't gonna happen. end up being the top coach. Anyway, go ahead. Anybody else? No, I'm just kidding. Kind of growing attached to it now. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Phil.
You know, it just looks like we got some severe weather rolling in, and I just wanted to pray it all down. Father, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke this storm that's coming against Monroe County around here, all these little towns, that all your saints are going to be protected and no damage will happen to any home. No tornadoes, no hail, none of that. No trees down. Nope. Everybody's going to have power. We praise your mighty name for it. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. No bad weather here. Not in Monroe County. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, go ahead, David.
Father, we rebuke all fear in our kids in the name of Jesus. They are not afraid of the storm. None of the kids are anywhere are afraid of storms in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That they can sleep peacefully and the storm's not going to bother them, but help them sleep. Thank you, Lord.
We don't have no stone. Thank you, Jesus. All right, go ahead, David. Oh, you still got your hand. All right. Geneva?
I just wanted to continue on a little praise about this house, you know, the Lord blessed us with to move into. The landlord had came over here just to take the little key box off the front door. And anyway, just another confirmation, like, how good God is. Like, he was telling us, you know, we were just telling him how thankful we are for it, and we were glad he rented it out to us. And he goes, I was like, it was definitely the Lord. And he goes, well, I guess it was. He was like, because that week I had so many people mad at me because they didn't even get to go and see the house. And anyways, I thought that was kind of funny, but just thankful that the Lord, you know, had it for us. You know, thank you, Jesus. Anyways, and then I do want to ask for prayer because just for Morgan's family, his grandma right now is on hospice. I asked for prayer for her like a month or two ago. And we didn't think it'd be this soon. But I guess the doctor had told her it'd be 4 to 6 weeks, and now they're saying like 3 days. So Morgan's mom is pretty upset. And, you know, we're just praying a prayer of faith, you know, but also too, she seems very peaceful. And, we actually just got back from over there and told her how much we love her and, you know, things of that sort. But, no, I just put it in the Lord's hands. God knows all, and no better place to be than be with Jesus, you know? So I just want to pray that the Lord comfort, the family and, just, you know, if you all believe with me, dear Lord, thank you, Father, for this precious lady, God. Thank you, Lord, for blessing her to be a part of my life and a part of Morgan's life, and just for her to be our granny. And God, I ask, Lord, that you just comfort all the family's hearts, God, and that everyone, Lord, I just want to pray that we don't receive, anyone else's timing, Lord, but yours. And that God, it's up to you, Jesus, when she's ready to meet you. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, for, blessing us with your faith and that. And when we go to see her, Father, we just feel your presence and continue to just show love to the family and to Papaw. And Lord, just be with Papaw, God. Comfort him right now, Father. Give him faith. And Lord, bless him, Father, to just feel your angels and to feel you. And Lord, I'm just going to leave it at that. And I know, Father, that you're going to be with us and you're going to be with Granny. And you're taking care of Granny right now as we speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Granny. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Let me get my book here. What do y'all do with the book? Get your sovereign Godhead. Let's go in there and use it. I got to find the one I had marked there. There it is. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Authority in prayer. We're still in authority on prayer. I think we're on 204, right? That's where I am anyway. And I'm going to start out in Hebrews 4 and 1. Lord, I thank you for showing us things in here, some new revelations, Father, to help us in our faith and the authority that you've given us. And I praise you for it, Lord. Open it up. The word to us, Lord. Hebrews 4 and 1. Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they, but the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. David says, our faith in each of these promises brings us into more of the rest. For example, if we believe that by his stripes you were healed, then we will not keep seeking a healing, but will rest accepting that it was accomplished at the cross. This is true faith and always brings the answer. Through believing the promises, we enter into rest from our own works. For a child of God to say that they have believed, they have received, and yet continue seeking to receive, usually through worldly methods, is to be double-minded. James 1 and 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubts is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And those who continue to work for what God has freely given believe in salvation by works. Hebrews 4 and 10, for he that has entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works. And we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Well, somebody tell me what it means to rest. What's he talking about when he's talking about resting? Yeah, Missy.
Resting from our own works.
Okay, give me an example. Give me an example.
Well, not going to a doctor.
Yep, there you go. That's it. That's not believing God, isn't it?
Yeah, or taking medicine.
Yeah, or trying to fix yourself by yourself instead of waiting on God and resting in him that he's doing the work in you. Folks, we don't know what's going on inside of our body when we pray the prayer of faith for healing. He's working in us right then. He starts in. Your cells are starting to attack the enemy at that moment. As long as you keep on believing, that's what's going to happen. Next thing you know, you'll be here. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
When we believe that we've received our healing
we don't continue to ask God or somebody else for the healing, to pray for you again. Don't continue to ask God, please heal me, please heal me. Not making those vain repetitions, I guess, is what they call that.
Amen. Amen. Well, I believe that when I pray for my healing, somebody prays for my healing, I'm healed. But then you go to the next friend and say, well, would you pray with me? Believe with me. And then you do it again. And you go to somebody else, well, would you believe with me? Well, that's not my belief. Now, I will say this. There are times when you get into certain instances, and it's a change or something, a big change, that it goes to the, you know, to another phase of it, your pain or whatever it is, that you can go to someone else and say, believe with me, let's pray. Pray for my healing, or go to an elder. You know what, that verse in James, I'm just going to say this. That verse in James that tells us to call for the elders of the church to come and lay hands on you, anoint you with oil and lay hands on you, and you'll be healed. I got to be very careful here. He's talking about people who have trouble believing, because he wants us to walk in divine health, does he not? And when we walk in divine health, we know that when I pray, and don't get me wrong, David, I asked David to pray for me, you know, at times when something's going on, which is very rarely. But I do ask, because I don't like pain no more than anybody else. And wholehearted gone. You can ask, you know, ask a friend or somebody to pray for you. But to go continually to the elders, is showing a lack of faith. And I believe that God wants us to pray, believe, and rest in him, to believe that he's doing that work in us. And he wants us to grow up in our faith to believe that he can do that. I'm not saying don't never go to the elders. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, there should come a time to when you believe for your own healing. Remember when he said, when two or more of you gather together and pray in my name, you shall be healed. You shall be, your prayers are going to be answered. I believe he meant that for husband and wife a lot, to do that, for husband and wife to come together in those instances and to pray for those things in your family or in your going on in you or going on in your family, and to pray for it. And he'll answer that as quick or quicker than he would if you got somebody from outside the family. That's just my interpretation of that particular promise. Because what did he say? He said, one to send 1,000, two to send 10,000. The flight. Like when a husband and wife gets together, that's a powerful team. That's a powerful team. All right. Anybody else got anything to add to that or take away from? Yeah, Ben.
Reminded of the verse in
Matthew
4, "But let patience have perfect work, that ye be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing."
Yeah, your audio is terrible.
Is it? You can't hear me?
It was. Yeah, I can now. Once you quit moving.
All right. I'll stop moving. I'll repeat the verse. "But let patience have perfect work, that ye be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing." And so we're being patient in faith, knowing that God will give us these promises. So if we're not going to be patient in our faith, resting in knowing that God will provide these promises, then it's not perfect. And that's what, you know, we're called to be perfect because I was perfect, or be holy because I was holy. And I don't know, it just seems better that we were patient in faith rather than, you know, be antsy to get the job done, because patience is very much connected to it. Is God wants to do that for us. You know, he wants to give us that. He loves to give his children gifts. Same way you as parents want to give gifts to your children. He's just, we got to let him give it to us patiently.
Amen. That's exactly right. We have to be enduring in our faith to see it happen. Enduring in our faith. That means enduring in your faith.
And
resting
faith
in the faith of God. Go ahead, man.
Faith in the things that we know are going to happen. Like Hebrews 11:1. I paraphrase it terribly, but it's faith in the things that will come, even if we don't physically see it.
Yep.
Or something along the lines of that. I'm quoting it very terribly.
Calling those things that are not as though they were. Yeah. That's a good one. Bless God, I'm healed. How you feel today? I am feeling wonderful. You might be feeling terrible, but you ain't going to confess it because you want to be feeling wonderful. God loves that. I can see, do y'all ever imagine God sitting up on the throne listening to you? Y'all hear about a boy down there, glory to God, he's confessing when he ain't feeling. Go down there and help him out a little bit there. Give him a little boost. I can just hear him say that. He got to be talking like somebody from Arkansas. Because, you know, you've got Yonder and Reckon all in the Bible. All right. Anybody else? All right, let's go a little bit further. Hey, Andrew. I didn't see you sneak in here. Since the promises of deliverance from the curse are past tense, when we believe them, we must stop working. It is an evil heart of unbelief to not rest. God was angry with Israel because they would not believe his word in their trial in the wilderness, Hebrews 3:8-10. Hebrews 3:11 says, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest happily there should be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and fallen away from the living God. We are become partakers of Christ, his health, holiness, and blessing. If we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. When we believe we have received, we are put in a position of weakness because we can't do anything to bring the desired result to pass. This weakness is our wilderness experience because there is no help from Egypt or the world. Only God's power saves in the wilderness. God says, my power is made perfect in weakness. And our weapon against our enemies who try to talk us out of our covenant rights is the two-edged sword of these past tense promises. Anybody got any comments? How many of you know all of your covenant rights? God is good. That's all you need to know. God is love. That's another one all you need to know. He's not going to let you suffer. Let me share with you a good example of the power of true gospel through our past provisions. A few years ago, I ran across a lady who had two large inoperable. Y'all hear that? Thunder? You didn't hear it? Praise God. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Let me share with you a good example of the power of the true gospel through our past provisions. A few years ago, I ran across a lady who had two large inoperable tumors. She listed for me several famous preachers she had been to who had prayed for her to be healed. She said to me, "David, I just don't understand why I have not been healed." David said, You just told me why you have not been healed. You're looking in the wrong direction. Turn around and look behind you. So by whose stripes you were healed. We were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. You're looking forward to a healing that happened behind you. You have a little hope, but no faith. Faith calls the things that are not, and in this case, healing, as though they were, Romans 4:17. Faith looks back at what was accomplished at the cross, but looks forward to what will be accomplished. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. Mark 11:24. And that's the gospel, sister, that you must believe. With these few words, I saw the light come on in her eyes and her face brightened. And I said, now we're going to pray one more time, but this time believe the scriptures and believe you have received. Whether you see an instant manifestation or not. She agreed, so I rebuked the infirmity and commanded her to be healed in Jesus' name. She instantly felt the tumors leave. We rejoiced and thanked God together, and I said, sister, that is the first time you believed the true gospel concerning your healing. If you had done that before, if you would have done that when those other preachers prayed, you would have been healed. My goodness gracious. Yes, thanks a lot. Yeah, that's true. Well, it didn't happen right away. We're thinking that it should happen right away. Well, that's not what the Lord said. He said, during your faith to the end. When you see it happen, it'll happen. Anybody got any questions or any answers? Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I was just thinking about that Roman centurion guy. He was a Roman, right?
Yep.
Centurion. He knew nothing about the God of Israel. He may have overheard some people about Jesus. Was he a saved person? Was he a covenant person? No, he wasn't. But he knew something. He knew authority. And Jesus marveled that he knew this authority. And there's a certain verse I know everyone here quotes on authority. But we have the blood of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word. That's how powerful God's Word is. That's why it puts a whole new meaning to 137 Luke. For no word of God shall be void of power. Now I was just thinking about that guy and the Syrophoenician, the Grecian woman, that they weren't in covenant with God. But they still believed. Kind of wondrous on what God actually might do in the future with some people. I was just thinking about that. Because that's the first 3.5 years, isn't it? Because it's compared to something's going to happen there. So, praise God.
Amen. There's a lot of ifs in the Word of God. I've seen people with no faith at all receive their healing. Now, whether they kept it or not, it was up to them. But I've seen instantaneous healings in terminal cases. And it's awesome to see it. And it, I related one last week of John Lake, and the guy came in, told him he was a good Catholic, you know. Didn't have no faith, didn't believe in anything, didn't know if, you know, all that kind of, I don't know. And all Lake, yeah, it's okay. I got faith enough for both of them. Stood up there, and all he did was let the power of God flow through him to this guy by holding his elbow. And the guy turned around, walked off, and didn't even know he'd been healed. That's the faith we need to have. He said, when we minister to somebody, they're going to get healed. That way you can minister to them the gospel, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the real good news. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, let's see. I stopped at, since the promises of deliverance, that's where I stopped at. Ain't nobody keep it up.
At the bottom of 205, Jesus guaranteed.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Why? Oh, yeah. Okay. Jesus guaranteed the Father's answer to the prayer of agreement. Matthew 18 and 19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. The prayer of agreement is the most powerful prayer. Deuteronomy 32:30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Combining our faith multiplies its power. For example, calling for the elders of the church to pray the prayer of faith and to anoint with oil for healing should always be a prayer of agreement. The one prayed for should be in agreement with the elders' faith that by the stripes of Jesus they were healed. Jesus gave us this example of seeking agreement when he tried to get words or actions of faith out of those that he then prayed for. Amen. You know, well, let's keep going. Anything anybody want to add? I want to ask you some questions. When you pray for somebody for healing, can you get them healed by just your faith? Okay. And another question. Will they keep that healing? Is there well, y'all know what the answer is. The answer is yes, as long as they understand that they come to Christ and believe Christ most of the time. Most of the time. I've seen terminal people didn't know Jesus get healed immediately. And then they want to know what it is, who healed them. They said, it wasn't me. It was Jesus. Jesus healed you. You need to keep this healing. You need to come in to the kingdom of God so that the enemy won't steal it from you. And the enemy is Satan, of course. You explain those things to him. And they'll want to because they feel so much better. You know, they will. They'll want to. That's those signs and wonders that I believe we're fixing to see. And that's going to be a lot more than that. Shortly. Well, what I'm trying to get you to understand, there are, I said this before, and I've used somebody else's terminology for it. There are no hindrances to healing but your hindrances, that you believe there is a hindrance. There's no hindrances to healing unless you believe there is a hindrance to healing. Jesus only gave two reasons for not being healed. Y'all remember what they were? Anybody know what they were? Marilyn knows. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Unbelief and the traditions of men.
That's it. That's it. That's the only thing he gave in scripture. The hindrances to your healing. And that's from the person giving the healing, praying the healing. That's what that's from. Did Jesus ever fail in his healing? Uh-uh. Never did. Every time he prayed for somebody, somebody got healed. Now, he did have to pray a couple of times, didn't he, on a couple of people. That's all. He said, can you see? Well, I see something like trees moving around out there.
He said, okay, we'll
do this again. We pray for him again. He could see real good. And what he's telling us is this. If it doesn't work the first time, just keep holding on to him. The power of God goes through him and heals him. Keeps him healing. It'll get him healed. Don't leave him till you get him healed. That was the success of John Lakes' ministry. He taught his people, you stay with them until they get healed. And they did that by teaching them more faith every day, and they prayed for them again. You understand about this faith? Yeah, I understand that part. Well, let's pray again. Most of the time, they get healed within the first week, you know. But Lake told them, he said, you stay with us for 30 days, and you'll get healed. I guarantee it. And he said, one time there was a guy that on the 28th day, he never did show back up. Blake called him. He said, is that the kind of guy you are? That you won't fulfill your obligation to come back and get healed? He said, well, wait a minute. He said, I was healed last night. There was no need for me to come back. So, praise God, you know. Yeah. When you're doing the healing, it's the power of God through you going to them. And that's why I like to hold on to them. But, you know, people have lots of ways. Smith Wigglesworth, somebody had a stomach problem, he'd just haul off and smack them in the stomach. And the reason he did that is because when he had a case of appendicitis, and this young man and young lady came in to pray for him, he asked if they could pray for him. He said, yeah. And that young man jumped up on top of the bed on top of Wigglesworth, and Wigglesworth was healed. That's where the young man had his faith at. And Wigglesworth, from that time on, if they had a stomach problem, man, he'd smack them right in the stomach. But they'd get healed, every one of them. That was where his faith was. He kicked a dead baby across the floor one time. And that baby, as soon as that baby hit the floor, came alive. That's where his faith was. It worked. Praise God. It worked. Unorthodox, but it worked. I mean, you know, if he hits me in the stomach, I better be healed. Something's coming back. But yeah, it's where your faith is. Anybody got any questions? David says, I often use the prayer of agreement, that's a good one, to minister because it keeps faith in the mind of the person in need. There was a grieving man in a small congregation whose wife had left him and gone to live with another man. And I called him to the front, asked him if he would agree with me, according to Matthew 18 and 19, that his wife would be sitting right next to him the next time he assembled with the church. He was eager to do so, and we agreed. And sure enough, at the next assembly, she was sitting next to him, and they were at peace. The man she was living with beat her up, threw her out with her belongings. You know, God is bigger than our need and faithful to his word. Praise God. I believe that. I believe we can pray for anything, and if we're believing, it's going to happen. I remember a time at Lake prayed for that lady over in Scotland when he was in South Africa. Made a little trip over there in the spirit. Prayed for her. 3 weeks later, they heard by letter, and that's how long it took, that she had completely came back to her senses, that she was just as normal as anybody else, and was let out of that insane asylum. He was completely nuts before that. Had her chained to the bed when Lake saw her, prayed for in the spirit. Now, that's something I'd like to do. Anybody else want to do something like that? Go in the spirit, get somebody out of the insane asylum. David talks about, who was it? A guy that they had prayed for. I think his mama had prayed for, and he came out of that. Oh, yeah. Y'all remember that story, don't you? About the, about the guy that a lady came by and gave him a Bible, told him to read it. Then another guy came by and gave him a prophetic word. I forget what the word was. But the guy came out of there and said he went to thank the lady for the Bible. And she went back, she was back stupid again. She said, I don't know what you're talking about. I never gave you a Bible. Another guy, you know, that's pretty neat when God does things like that. Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am I in the midst of them. Small groups of Christians will see consistent, powerful answers to prayer, no matter what they pray for, with this method. Years ago, when I worked for the Exxon refinery, men from many Christian backgrounds came together at noon from all over the planet to pray and study the Word. We did not have much time to dwell on prayer if we were to get into the Word and come to some agreement and maturity of understanding. One of the first things I taught was the prayer of agreement. We will share our prayer requests in the simplest, shortest form possible. Then we would all agree that these needs were met. Sometimes commanding them done, but always thanking God and going on to study the Word. We certainly were not heard for our much speaking, but we were heard. At first, most of these brethren had never seen God answer prayer and did not have faith to ask. They were encouraged as they saw the power of combined faith and soon were eager to pray. We saw blind eyes open, tumors and cancers disappeared, all kinds of sicknesses healed, demons cast out, funds supplied, equipment repaired, marriages restored, souls saved, and souls filled with the Spirit, etc. Even the lost asked requests to use for our prayers. One of the biggest miracles was that many who attended began to believe on Jesus, as the scripture has said, and were no longer nominal Christians. Many repented of dishonest practices, such as taking tools home, exaggerating overtime hours, or cheating on taxes. My boss called me in one day, very happy with the change in some of his employees who attended these meetings and tried to give me credit. And I witnessed to him of our sovereign God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I remember when I came to Christ, I was in the middle of some of that garbage too. Maintenance supervisor, you got all kinds of things that you can do. But as soon as I came to Christ, I gave every bit of that up. And, it was an amazement to the people around me as well. Praise God. Anybody else got an experience? Okay. Through the prayer of agreement, God changes hearts in our behalf. Proverbs 21 and 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as a watercourse. He turneth it whithersoever he will. I can't tell you how many times that we have asked God to change the minds of men in order to give favor to his people in need. A brother in our assembly, Tony Nassif, has an environmental engineering firm. The owner of a large mall hired Tony's firm for a $1.9 million job. However, he was not satisfied with the time the job was taking, even though the tasks were being performed in record time. The owner, president, and vice president had a conference call with Tony for an hour and a half where they berated Tony, cursed, threatened lawsuits if the work was not performed faster. During and after this conference, Tony prayed to God for favor and to help him control his anger with these men. Tony then contacted me. We prayed a prayer of agreement that God would give Tony his favor and the favor of these men. We agreed that God would open these men's eyes to appreciate the speed and professionalism that God had provided through Tony's firm. Just 17 hours later, the vice president called and said that the owner had asked him to contact Tony and apologize for him for what he had said and to ask if Tony would continue to work for them. He also related that the work performed was of a high caliber, that he had the utmost confidence in the work of Tony and his firm. He asked that Tony continue the work as he saw fit and not as he had directed. And by God's grace, the work was completed in a quarter of the typical time and saved the owner an additional $1.5 million. This is one of the many times that God has given favor through men in answer to the prayer of agreement for Tony. He is no respecter of persons. He will do it for you too. Glory to God, that's awesome. Anybody ever have an experience like that? Amen. Once when the family needed a break, we headed out toward Pensacola Beach. Go ahead, Missy. Was that you? Who was that raised their hand? Is that Mariana?
Oh, that was just me agreeing about the situation like that, Michael.
Oh,
remember
okay.
When you guys prayed for me in FedEx and supposed to have 240 hours per rotation to get the job done, and that was supposed to last for about 4 or 5 rotations. But I remember they only gave – I was getting yelled and cussed at too by the VPs a lot, and I was real frustrated. Yeah. I was constantly, you know, talking to you, and we were all praying.
Yeah.
What they threatened the company at the lawsuit. They said we were in breach of the contract, but we weren't. It's just – I had to commission a new sorter on top of an existing sorter, and it only had one PLC, and the main sorter that was running was using it. So I had to commission a multi-million-dollar project on top of only one PLC, which is insane, Michael. You know that.
Yeah.
And anyways, they come to a resolution and give me about 1 hour and sometimes max 3 hours a day to work the project. And I had that senior controls engineer come with me for about a rotation. And remember, y'all prayed. And he's a Christian man, just kind of maybe doesn't – he's where the Lord had him at the moment, and especially for this testimony. Maybe he – I don't know if he's seen the real power of God. And y'all prayed the Lord give him wisdom, because he told me that this is the worst job he's ever seen, and that's going to be impossible to get done. And we were stuck in one thing in the program for a few days. We couldn't get past it to get it working. And remember, he woke up with a dream that night, and he said in the dream, he seen the PLC program and found the problem. He opened up the computer after he woke up because he couldn't sleep, found exactly that, and it worked the next day. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
And we got that project commissioned ahead of time. That is amazing.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome. David said, one friend and family needed a break. We headed out toward Pensacola Beach. On the way, I got their attention. We prayed the prayer of agreement. I said, Father, we don't get to do this often. And we ask you to make the best about this day. We ask that you give us a nice, sunshiny day, but not too hot. We ask that you give us a place on the beach without a lot of naked people around. Meaning people in colored underwear. Normally called swimsuits. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Driving down the beach road, you cannot see the beach except sporadically because of the dunes. But we saw cars everywhere on the side of the road, which did not bode well for seclusion. We picked a spot and crossed the dunes to the beach, looking in either direction for several miles. There was nothing but people. I thought, Lord, this is not what we asked for. After being there only a short time, we noticed a large black thunderstorm coming toward the beach from the direction of the mainland. And for those who do not know, the beach is a very long island running parallel to the mainland, but several miles from it. Again, I thought, Lord, this is not what we asked for. Little did we know that there were tornadoes jumping around in that storm. The closer it got, the more people left the beach. And Mary was saying to me that we had better go, but I was seeking to hold fast our prayer and felt reluctant to leave. The leading edge of the storm was about to reach us, and Mary was again saying that we had better leave. I looked up and down the beach for several miles in either direction. There was not a single soul to be seen but us. It was then that the Lord spoke in my spirit and said, why don't you blow our storm back? Being a little introverted, I did not want Mary and the children to see me blowing into the wind. So I walked down the beach a few yards and started blowing. The storm stopped very quickly and then started backing up. It backed up several miles and stayed there. I was awed at the Lord. Here we were having a beautiful sunshiny day, not too hot, without any semi-naked people around, just as we had asked. For the next 2 hours that we were there. On the way back, we came into the rain again in the middle of the first bridge, so we knew that the people on Gulf Breeze and in Pensacola didn't know the sun was shining on Pensacola Beach, which kept them away. Praise God. God thinks of everything. As we returned to our house, we saw store awnings ripped off, trees down, and other obvious signs of a tornado. The children questioned what happened. I said that I must have blown too hard, and I got a kick out of that. God was interested in blessing our day and giving us a testimony of his omnipotence. Part 2. Okay. Well, I just command the internet to stay up. Storms don't have no effect over God's internet. Jesus' name. Theo, did you go off too? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Nobody else did but me. Huh? Okay. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm back. Are you guys? Where were we?
You're the top of page 209. Finishing David's testimony.
The sun was shining on Pensacola Beach, which kept them away. God thinks of everything. As we returned to our house, We saw, well, we're dead, saw store awnings ripped off, trees down, and other obvious signs of a tornado. And the attorney questioned what happened. I said that I must have blown too hard. And they got a kick out of that. God was interested in blessing our day and giving us a testimony of his omnipotence to answer our prayers of faith and agreement. I can't tell you how many times we've done that. Prayed weather away. Or prayed weather in. Prayed for rain. Prayed not for rain. Prayed for whatever. And God just does it. Like the other day, who was it? I was walking. I was out walking. And I was within a half a mile, and this big black cloud came up over Fort Loudoun. And I was talking to somebody, and I prayed. We prayed, and I got over in my truck. Just stepped inside the truck, and the bottom fell out. Boy, to God. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else have a similar experience to that? Praying weather away? At time, we prayed that big blizzard out of here. Glory to God. That was awesome a few years ago. Everybody else was getting 15, 16 inches of snow. We didn't get nothing. Just a little dusted. Just in the Sweetwater region here. What they call the Sweetwater region. Thank you, Lord. I just like to pray all cold weather out. Y'all know what it means. You know, we need some good Hawaiian weather continuously. There was another time. Yeah, I can't remember the other time. Anybody want to tell them a testimony that they had with the weather? I was in Arkansas one time, and there was tornadoes all around us. I mean, they were all over the place. I just prayed. I told my family, I said, look, we're going to pray. God's going to answer. I said, there's not going to be any tornadoes in our neighborhood at all. And they were within 2 miles of us, and they were wrecking houses, leveling stores, everything. Because we lived out in the country. But they leveled people that were 2 miles away, but not in our area. Nobody in our neighborhood had any damage. Praise God. But as a place down the road, you probably heard of it, BB, Arkansas. That's where the blackbirds died flying, you know, flying and they just died, just right there, died all over the place. Y'all remember that a few years ago? The blackbirds were dead. They couldn't figure it out why the birds were dying. Well, they had a tornado come through there, wiped out the school, wiped out the a church, a big church, a couple of big churches. And they just got it built back, that and the school. Another came through there, wiped the same ones out. I told some people, I said, somebody needs to be praying. Somebody ain't doing something right. But anyway, God's good. All right. Jesus gave us another guarantee for the prayer of importunity. Luke 11:8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, persistence, he will arise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask, and shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and he that knocks shall be opened. Jesus was adamant that we would receive an answer for persistent asking, seeking, and knocking. However, there is a difference between importunity and vain repetition. Matthew 6:7, and in prayer, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Vain repetitions are attempts at salvation by works and do not end up believing that God will answer. Importunity should be used when we lack the faith to pray the prayer of faith. Importunity is a way to receive faith. Faith is his gift to you, and without it, we do not have access to grace. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Excuse me. It is the gift of God. The prayer of importunity cannot circumvent faith, for it must end up there. We must ultimately exercise faith to receive. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. Every true believer has been given a measure of faith. Romans 12:3. But we must learn to exercise it. And I share with you this example to compare the prayers of faith, agreement, and importunity. In 1984, I had plowed up the ground around our home to plant grass. And since it had been rainy, we had placed planks on blocks to make a walk to the house. My second son, Nathan, who was then about 3, and I were on this walk. Nathan stumbled, falling into the mud. And when I caught him, his full weight was being thrown against his forearm at a right angle. I felt his arm snap in my hand, and he cried out. And I knew his arm was broken. As I had gathered him into my arms, he was crying and holding his arm, and I commanded his arm to be healed as I carried him to the door. And I thought to myself, I won't alarm Mary by telling her that he broke his arm. And I believe that God put that thought in me at that moment. As I handed him to her, I said, he hurt his arm falling from the wall. Well, she rocked him and prayed as he cried. And soon he fell asleep, and she began to examine his arm. He cried out when she touched the break. She said to me, David, his arm is not hurt, it's broken. I said, yeah, I know, but God has always healed us before, and he'll heal us this time too, won't he? She agreed, and when Nathan fell asleep, we put him in bed with us. And I had prayed the prayer of faith, believing I had received, and soon fell asleep. Mary, not yet at peace, prayed the prayer of importunity until about 4 a.m. Nathan cried several times during the night. In the morning, we slipped quietly into the kitchen for coffee. Soon we heard Nathan, so we took a peek. He saw us, grinned, and scurried across the bed on all fours. I picked him up by his arms, tossing him in the air as he laughed. He was totally healed. Praise God. Even though we had attacked the problem differently, we arrived at the same faith, essentially the prayer of agreement at 4 a.m. Friend, God will not fail you. The prayer must end at faith. The double-minded will not receive, James 1:6-8. Glory to God. That's awesome. Yeah, there's two ways you can pray. You can pray that God's going to heal progressively, or you can pray that God's going to heal or deliver or whatever instantaneously. And I found that I've always wanted to believe that he'd do it instantly. And most of the time he does. Most of the times it's within just a few hours that they're healed. Most of the time it's, I remember that time we had those deliverances. Goodness gracious, people would get healed immediately or get delivered immediately, or as they were driving down the driveway, they get healed, or it's liable to be a day later, or it's liable to be 3 or 4 days later. And they'd call us and say, well, got delivered last night. Praise God, you know. It's amazing. I remember one time I prayed for this kid that had a motorcycle accident and broke his back. This was in a Baptist church. I got him up out of his wheelchair and walked him around in front of the church and the pastor and the student pastor, I guess, for lack of a better way to call him, took off running out of the room. And anyway, they were kind of elated that he didn't get healed immediately. I said, that's all right. He'll be healed. She watched and see what it takes. And it was, gosh, it was 6 weeks, month or 6 weeks later that I got word back that that boy was totally healed. They said he'd have, he'd be an invalid all his life in that wheelchair that he'd never walk again. And they got word back to him that he'd gotten up out of that wheelchair, bless God, and he was completely healed. That was about 6 weeks, month or 6 weeks later. So God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Anybody got any testimonies or questions or answers? I can't hear you, Missy. Chicken. Amen. Anybody else? Look, don't be discouraged because God's not instantaneously healing you. He's working in all of us, a lot of things, you know. Don't, I'm telling you. And just keep on believing. It's happening. It is happening. Glory to God. We're going to see multiplied multiplicities of healings here shortly. Anybody got anything I'd like to share? I'm not going to read anymore. Missy, what are you talking about? Are you talking to us or are you talking to Merle?
Both. I'm teasing Merle.
Oh.
But he had a funny story, but he won't let me tell it.
Okay.
It had to do with the beginning of what we had talked about in the very beginning. But I'm not allowed to say.
Amen. Well, submit, girl. Amen. I'll tell you something that the Lord has done for me too, Theo, is this. If I've gone early in my walk with the Lord, you know, I go fishing. So, Lord, I sure would like to catch a mess of good catfish today. I'd come back home with a good mess of catfish. Or if I was trout fishing, I'd ask him to give me a good mess of trout. It happened. It would happen. God loves us. Somebody made that comment earlier. God loves us. He wants to do for us. He wants us to be happy. And to know that he loves us too. Yeah, Phil.
Yes, I can definitely relate. Always asking for either a deer to come by or the right fish to bite and not lose it. And then you just, you're looking at it, it's right there in your hands, and you're just like, thank you, Lord. And, you know, it feels so genuine. You know, you got what you asked for, and you're just, it's just you in the wilderness, you and the Lord, and it's really nice. It's really nice.
It is. It is. And the Lord loves us to praise Him.
Yeah.
You know. Glory to God. That's awesome. Say, oh, just a funny story. I always try to let my buddies tell their fishing story first. You know what I mean?
That is life wisdom right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about your big fish. Then you can go back and say, well, I can remember one time. Oh, boy.
Yep.
God is good. Yeah. No, the power didn't go out. Just lost the internet. I don't understand what happened. It was just the internet went down all of a sudden. His enemy. He's gone. We just had a couple of little, I heard a little thunder back in the back. You're not getting any rain over there, are you?
It hit us with a vengeance. I had to run out there and start putting stuff away, and I got soaked. I'm in a different shirt now. It was really windy. I had to hide the pool in the garage and put away the big umbrella and make sure everything don't get blown away.
But you did get rain too, huh?
Oh, yeah, it rained pretty good, which we needed.
Okay. Yeah. I can stand one myself. I don't want no wind and a lot of hail with it. I don't want no hail at all. I'd tear down my tomato crop.
It always hits me first. Then it goes to David, and then it goes to you.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, you're east of us, I guess. South and east of us. Well, it looks like the first one has already downloaded, praise the Lord. We'll have to wait on that. Part two is still ready to go. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share about God's grace and goodness in your life? Yeah, Isaac.
Hey, yeah, y'all remember that hurricane that went through Florida here a few months ago?
Yeah.
Was it a year ago? Oh, maybe close to a year ago. Anyways, you said you were reading something from God and you were talking about weather and you asked if anybody had anything to share. And I went to go raise my head and I hung up and I was like, man. So anyways, it's just too awesome of the Lord for me not to mention it again. So I want to mention it. But, Michael, remember I was I knew Geneva's down there and I had my house. I was worried about my house, not Geneva. But we were, I called you and we prayed about it on the phone because I knew it was supposed to be pretty, pretty strong as a direct hit for where it's just a little trailer was. Anyways, That same night, I had that dream that the hurricane was going through the Gulf of Mexico, and it turned on a dime and seen my house, and it was extra mad because my house was there, and it came for it. It made a beeline for the house, and once it went to the house to destroy it, the hurricane got split in two and dissipated. That was the dream I had. And that hurricane did hit, and it stayed over that area for a few days. Geneva could tell you all about it. She's got an eyewitness account. But it was I had to battle a lot of fear, and even though the Lord was so gracious with me to give me that, you know, dream after me and you prayed, and, even to the point I was driving home one day just kind of like, you know, casting down thoughts in my mind. Man, I was casting down thoughts, and then another thought would come and try to rest. And I would have to cast it down. And sometimes I think on these things more than I should. And I remember this car pulled out in front of me on a merge and just right in front of me.
And it's in the license plate said, trust God. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I know. Thank you, Lord. I do need to do that. Anyways.
Amen.
Well, it tore up a lot of the houses in the neighborhood, blew off roofs, you name it. And the only thing that happened was to my house was it blew off a few of the skirting on the under panel. And here's the crazy thing. Out of the real estate office that was selling my house, all their listings dropped that were pending besides mine, because my house is the only house that didn't need a post hurricane inspection. And I just thought praise that was God. So awesome of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. That's awesome. God is so good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. All right. Anyone else? Anybody need to pray? Everybody needs to pray. Come on now. Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
Hey, Michael. I wanted to ask for some prayer, more prayer. I think it's just boiling down to an attack, really, because there's so much going on. I know there's improvement in the boys, but I'm just tired.
Okay.
It's wearing me out, and I know it shouldn't. I know that I am consistent. I know I am walking by faith. I know I am praying, and I am warring. And something just keeps stirring the pot. And so I'm just asking for prayer for y'all to back up our household, to come against whatever it is that's coming against us, and that the Lord give us rest and put an end to this. Because I'm doing the best I can, and I'm praising the Lord, and I'm giving him all the glory. And I know that there's an end to this. And so, Father God, I just confess that this is where I'm at, and I thank you for strengthening me. And I thank you, Father God, that we have a body we can turn to help us come against the enemy and cast down this attack, and that our home is free of this, Father God, that the boys are not being used against us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you, everybody that's hearing our voice right now, that every day for the next week, that you would pray for Lana and the boys and Phil, that they would have peace in that household. And we cast down all witchcraft curses spoken against the Galchenkos right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that there is a hedge of protection around them made of fire that the enemy cannot penetrate in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for placing it in us. We pray for them every day, because this enemy is defeated in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Everybody believe that? Raise your hand if you're going to commit to doing it. Okay, praise God. All right, y'all going to get some relief. Not only relief, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. That enemy's going to be so tired of getting whipped. Goodness gracious. Thank you, Father. I've just made a note, and I'm going to put it right there this morning. I'm going to start doing it. Amen. I believe that, David. We bind witchcraft. Yes, we do. Cast it down in Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, David, go ahead, brother.
Lord, we bind the factious leaders, Lord, and all their helpers, Father God, from working against the people here locally, Lord, and outwardly, Father God. And I pray protection over everyone here, that no family, no child should suffer, because we are the children of God. And Jesus made the promise that he has taken everything and bore it on himself on the cross. And we claim that in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus over every family, over every child. Everyone here that believes unto God is free and free indeed. Satan, you go from the children now in the name of Jesus. You go from these families now in the name of Jesus. You are bound, and we command the angels to go forth and swing your swords and bind up anything unclean in every single house. And we pray the peace of God to fill every single house, the Spirit of the Lord to fill the house so much so that Satan won't even look that way. He'll just be trembling in fear and just run the other way. And we thank you, Lord, that the pillar of fires are coming down on each house. And we are safe in your presence, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that from this night on, Lord, there's nothing but peace in each heart, in each mind, and each child is obedient. And it takes only one time to say something, and the kid goes. And we thank you, Lord, because that's how you made it to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. I believe, along with David, that this prayer here is going to affect every family that's listening and believing right now in Jesus' name. And thank you, Father, for doing that for all of the families and their children. And I thank you for it, Father. It's going to be happy times. Happy times. Peace and rest in each home in Jesus' name. Thank you, David. Wonderful, wonderful prayer. Praise God. And I believe it. Everybody else believe it, raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Amen, Isaac. And boys, too. Thank you, Father. George's family. Geneva's family. Cheryl's family. Barbara's family. Everybody's family. Debbie's family. Thank you, Jesus. Benita's family. Everybody I didn't mention's family. Yeah, I covered everybody. That way I won't get in trouble. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else before we get out of here? Close it. Lord, I just pray a prayer of protection upon everybody here in Jesus' name. And we come against the witchcraft curses that they try to bring upon the prophetic, the dreamers, the visionaries. And we pray a hedge of protection around them that they cannot penetrate in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for putting in David lots of energy. Let him get a good night's sleep tonight, Lord, all night long. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to get a good night's sleep tonight, too, without any interruption, either one of us, in the name of Jesus. And everybody, I pray that for everybody, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed. You hear? Glory to God.